fog, out of the night, and into his American adventures comes Bulldog Drummond. Tell us about our newest adventure. Here is Bulldog Drummond.
I call this story The Case of the Frightened Heiress. It began late one Saturday afternoon as Denny and I were driving along the Kingville Turnpike. The weather was crisp and clear. The sun was low in the west. The road stretched ahead of us with not another car in sight.
I say, sir, the scenery along here is marvelous. Do you care to have me drive so that you can enjoy it?
No, thank you, Denny. We're only about 15 miles from Kingville. We'll have dinner there, and then you can drive if you wish.
Yes, sir. I say, there's an aeroplane behind us. It's coming up the road as though it were going to overtake us.
Yes, yes, I can see it in the mirror. It's flying very low.
Too low for comfort, I'd say.
It's one of those small two-seater jobs, Denny. Top speed of 65 miles an hour, and with a headwind, you can land the thing in a tennis court.
Yes, but I don't see any tennis court, sir. And the plane can't be more than 30 feet above the road.
It's passing over us now.
Yes, I'm watching, sir. The pilot's leaning out of the window, holding something in his hand.
Denny, that looks like a grenade.
Yes, he's going to drop it, sir. It'll strike the road just ahead of us.
Hang on, Denny. I'm taking the ditch.
Oh, good work, sir. You jumped the ditch very nicely into this field.
And just in time.
My word, that grenade exploded in the road. If we hadn't taken to the ditch, we'd have been killed.
That's no use, Denny. We're stuck. The shaft is on the ground, and the rear wheels can't get traction.
If we only had a few planks, sir, to put under the rear tires, we might get out.
Well, there isn't a house or a barn in sight, nor a board fence.
Well, I suppose I'll have to trudge to the nearest habitation and arrange for a tow of some sort.
Wait, Denny. There's a car coming along the road. Let's get out there and flag it.
It's an excellent idea, sir. Isn't far to the road.
Hurry up, Denny. We don't want to miss it.
Yes, it isn't traveling fast. We have plenty of time.
All right. Now we'll both stand here in the road and wave our arms.
I say the driver must see us, but he isn't slowing down.
Keep on waving, Denny. Stay right here until you have to jump.
Yes, sir. I hope he stops. Oh, thank goodness. I thought for a moment he was going to run us down.
It's a woman driver, Denny. She's alone in the car.
My word, sir, I see her now. She looks frightened, doesn't she?
Come along, let's tell her who we are.
Yes, sir.
Stay where you are, don't come any closer.
I assure you, miss, we have no intention of harming you.
What do you want?
A lift to the nearest place where we can get a tow. There's our car out in the field. We had an accident.
Well, how did you get off the road like that?
It sounds fantastic, I know, but we were attacked by an airplane.
An airplane attacked your car?
Yes. The pilot dropped a grenade aimed directly at us. You can see the crater it made just ahead in the road.
Who are you?
This is Captain Drummond, miss, and I'm Denny.
Captain Drummond and Denny? Oh, I'm sorry I suspected you.
Just why did you suspect us? And why were you so frightened when I said that a plane attacked our car?
Well, I guess I'd better start from the beginning, hadn't I?
I wish you would.
Well, I'm Linda Carter. That probably doesn't mean a thing to you.
Frankly, it doesn't.
It does to people in this neighborhood. You see, my uncle, Burton Carter, was quite a rich man. He died about a month ago, leaving my sister Ruth and myself heirs to his estate.
And where is your sister now?
She's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She didn't die naturally, Captain Drummond. She was killed a week ago in a very strange automobile accident on this road.
Dear me.
What happened, Miss Carter?
I don't know. Neither do the authorities. All they found was the exploded wreckage of her car. That's why I was so afraid when you stopped me.
I'm beginning to understand a great many things. Did you notice our car out there in the field? It's the same make and model as this one of yours.
My word, sir. Do you mean the pilot of that plane mistook our car for Miss Carter's?
It looks that way, Denny. The grenade he dropped for us was undoubtedly intended for Miss Carter.
Captain Drummond, will you help me? I don't care about the inheritance, but I do want to make sure that Ruth's murderer is punished.
We'll do all we can for you. Denny and I have a little score to settle with him, too.
Indeed we have, sir.
All right. We'll leave our car here, Miss Carter, and drive into Kingville with you.
Please, sir, what are your plans when we reach Kingville?
That's just what I was going to ask you, Captain Drummond.
Well, Miss Carter, first of all, we want to make sure that the murderer doesn't know of your arrival. Now, I suggest that you register at a small hotel under an assumed name.
Well, there are three hotels in Kingville. The Mountain View House is the largest. Then there's a commercial hotel and the Hopkins House at the edge of town.
Yes, I remember the Hopkins House, a small residential hotel. Very well, that's where we'll leave you. Tell me, who has charge of your uncle's estate?
An old friend of his, a lawyer named Horace Benton. He has an office on Main Street, but he's home now. I'm supposed to meet him there at 15 South Street.
Good. And when we leave you at the Hopkins House, you'll telephone him. Tell him that we're coming to see him.
All right.
Tell him we're trying to protect you and that he should give us any information we need.
Oh, yes, of course I will. But why should I register at the Hopkins House under an assumed name?
For just one reason, Miss Carter. The murderer knows that his last bomb attack did not succeed. And I expect him to make another attempt to kill you. The next house must be number 15, where Attorney Benton lives, Denny. Stop right here.
Yes, sir.
Wait, hold on. Sit quietly for a moment.
Yes, sir. But why?
There's a woman standing in front of Benton's house, and she's staring at this car as though she recognized it.
Yes, I see her. Now she's walking away.
Come on, I want to talk to her.
Yes, sir.
I say, pardon me, madam.
Go away.
Just a moment, please.
Say, what do you mean following me?
I'm very sorry to bother you. I merely want to ask you one question. Why were you staring at our car?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you think you recognized the car?
Oh, you must be nuts. So long, mister. See you sometime. Next year, maybe.
Very crude person, sir, I must say.
At the moment, though, Denny, all that I'm interested in is why she was staring at Miss Carter's car. At the top of the car.
My word, I see something now at the top of the car.
Yes, so do I. Let's examine it.
It's a patch of light green, sir, on the top.
We didn't notice it on the road. When we first approached the car, we couldn't see the top. But from the sidewalk here, it's easily visible.
Good heavens, it's a whole sheet of one-cent stamps stuck to the top.
The murderer or an accomplice must have marked the car. That green color against the dark top would be easy to spot from the air. Wait, hold on. Denny, now I understand why that airplane attacked us.
But you already figured that out, sir. The two cars are identical.
No, more than that. You remember that large spot of green paint that's been on top of our car for the last few days?
Oh, yes, sir. We never knew where we picked it up.
Well, our first stop is at Attorney Benton's house. But after that, Denny, we'll investigate the green stamps on this car. They appear to be a mark of death.
A sheet of one-cent stamps stuck to the top of an automobile to mark an innocent girl for death. How will Bulldog Drummond proceed in his attempt to find the unknown killer who strikes from the air? In just a moment, we'll know. Back to Bulldog Drummond and the case of the frightened heiress. After Drummond and Denny found the sheet of 1 cent stamps pasted on the top of Linda Carter's car, they proceeded at once to the home of Horace Benton, her uncle's attorney. We find them at the front door.
Please, sir, I've rung the bell 3 times and no one answers.
We're going in anyway, Denny. Try the door first.
My word, it was unlocked.
All right, go in quickly.
Yes, sir.
Benton should be expecting us.
Yes, of course. Miss Carter promised to telephone him from the hotel.
This must be the library.
Seems to be no one in there, sir.
Let's make sure.
Oh, dear. A body. Slumped over the desk.
Yes. He's dead, all right. Shot through the back.
While he was telephoning, sir. The phone is still in his hand. There's a pencil in the other hand.
He fits the description Linda Carter gave us. Stocky, bald-headed, reddish moustache. This must have been Benton, all right.
But why was he killed?
Because he just received a telephone call from Linda Carter.
What do you mean, sir?
See here, Denny. You see what he wrote on this desk pad?
Why, yes. Laura Jones. That's the name you told Miss Carter to register under. Hopkins House, room 34, Higby 3847.
It's all quite simple, Denny. Someone was hiding behind these heavy draperies when Benton received that phone call from Miss Carter.
And when he'd written down the information, someone shot him. Is that correct?
I'm afraid it is.
And that someone must have been the murderous aeroplane pilot or an accomplice.
Yes. Perhaps the woman we encountered outside, the one who was staring at the top of the car.
The murderer may have gone to the Hopkins House, sir, to get Miss Carter.
We'll find out about that, Denny.
Please.
Higby 3847. As quickly as you can, please. This is important.
I sincerely hope Miss Carter's safe.
Denny, start looking through Benton's desk. See if you can find a copy of Burton Carter's will.
Yes, sir, directly.
Hopkins House. Mr. Brown speaking.
Mr. Brown, this is Captain Drummond.
Oh, how do you do, Captain Drummond?
You have a young lady in room 34, Laura Jones.
That's right.
May I speak with her?
Oh, I'm sorry, Captain Drummond. We have no room telephone.
Well, is she in her room, do you know?
She must be, sir. If she'd gone out, she'd have to pass the desk, and I haven't seen her since she went upstairs.
Is there any other way out of the hotel?
Only the service entrance, sir, in the back. The porter's on duty there, and he hasn't reported any guest leaving.
Well, now, Mr. Brown, this is a matter of life and death. I want to make sure that Laura Jones is safe.
Well, I'll send a bellboy to her room right away, sir.
Do that, please. And make sure that you and the porter both stay at your posts. Don't let anyone in or out of the hotel.
We won't, sir.
Tell the bellboy not to alarm Miss Jones. Just make sure that she's in her room. And then call me back at Davenport 1636.